Afternoon. Can you hear me? Never quite certain about these microphones. We have this afternoon two microphones. So that means you might be able to hear the speakers better. And Steve Hayward, you're going to let me know if that's not the case. Oh, you're here. You're in the front. Listening to Bill's remarks, it's obviously a treat for you to be in California, but I will say this, Bill. I've been to Philadelphia Society meetings in Pennsylvania and in Illinois, and nobody talks about the relative merits of those two states when you're there as a mixture of good and evil. I suspect good and evil exists all over. But one thing I know is that when the mamas and papas made their songs, they would never conceive of a song called New York Dreamin' or Illinois Dreamin'. Thomas Mann, director of governmental studies at the Brookings Institution, was recently quoted in an AP story. California isn't necessarily at the top of the list in innovations. Oftentimes, they start elsewhere, but they get picked up in California, and everyone notices because California is California. Indeed, Americans have been looking to California ever since our country began. First and foremost, the Golden State has always been a place of dreams, whereas Randy Newman put it in his anthem, "I Love L.A.," the sun is shining all the time. Along with the sun, the mountains, the Pacific Ocean doorway to Asia, there came the discovery of gold, the orange groves, Hollywood, and more recently, aerospace and Silicon Valley. We don't talk about earthquakes, although they're here too. Since 1962, California has been the most populous state in the Union. This year, California has about 34 million citizens, and by 2025, there will likely be 50 million citizens. We now have a congressional delegation, including senators and representatives, of 54, while New York, the former population champion, has 33. Texas has 32. Some other interesting numbers about what is happening out here in California. In 1970, the Latino population of California was about 15% of the state. It's now 31% of the state. In 1970, the Asian population of California was 3%. It's now 12% of the population of the state. But over 40% of the University of California at Berkeley, the premier public university in California, about 40% of that student population at undergraduate level is Asian. The promise of liberty and justice is like a magnet. Now, with the passage of NAFTA in 1994, trade patterns in America and California have changed. Mexico is now America's number two trading partner after Canada. Japan is now number three. California increasingly has dealings with Mexico, economically, culturally, and politically. It's estimated now that about $5 billion a year are sent to Mexico by immigrant workers here. And Mexican politicians now campaign in California for election back in Mexico. Since the 1970s, there is more American trade with Asia than with Europe. Californians feel this trend every day in some way. And while much of American history can be written in terms of the struggle between whites and blacks and the promise of equality in the Declaration of Independence, the 14th Amendment, these newer Americans in California have no heritage in that particular struggle. They were not descended from slaves, nor were they slaveholders. What is happening here in California is that America is being redefined again. The idea that all men are created equal, it's as powerful as ever. 60% of voting Californians in 1996 rejected racial preferences, however benignly described and intended, and rather resoundingly affirmed the American idea that government should treat each citizen equally under the law. It turns out that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, our founding documents, speak ever more powerfully to new generations of Americans and to new Americans, especially here in California, the place of dreams. In this environment, we Californians do our politics while the nation watches, fascinated, even without Warren Beatty. In this session, we have three outstanding public policy leaders who will give their ideas as to what constitutes cutting-edge issues in California. And it is likely that if Mr. Mann of the Brookings Institution is right, these issues will reverberate around the country in the near future. Our first speaker this afternoon is Sally Pipes, whom I'm sure is known to many of you. She has served as president and chief executive officer of the Pacific Research Institute since 1991. She has particular expertise and knowledges in issues such as healthcare, education, privatization, civil rights and the economy, and she's been interviewed on a wide variety of television programs, including ABC's 2020. She's appeared on Politically Incorrect, NBC's Dateline, and even the Today Show. She's been published widely in all of the usual places you can imagine. She is also a trustee of St. Luke's Hospital Foundation in San Francisco. She's a board member of the Independent Women's Forum and was a commissioner on California's Commission on Transportation Investment. And it's with a great deal of pleasure that we should welcome her now, Sally Pipes.